A woman who was harassed by a thief and his group of friends is now being called a white supremacist on the internet. Plus, we have some really outlandish updates in regard to the Anheuser-Busch Bud Light controversy. Let's talk about it. What's up, guys? Happy Friday. I'm your host, Amala Epinobi. We have Taylor in Nashville.
We back. Happy Friday.
And Scott in the producer's bay.
What's up, everyone?
And today, I'm wearing this woman, an adult human female shirt that one of you sent me. I think your name is Delia. Thank you so much for sending this my way. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Had to rep it on the show today. Plus, you sent me a little Soot Sprite from Spirited Away, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Thank you so much. You guys are so sweet, and I love you all. Now, today we're going to talk about this video that's now gone viral, which I'm sure if you've been on Twitter, this has been really the platform for all of the back and forth on this video in particular. If you've been on Twitter, you've probably seen this video. I want to first show you the spun version of this story, and then we'll get into the facts. So what you're seeing right now will be a deception from what has actually happened, but nonetheless, it's gone viral, and now somebody's life is essentially hanging in the balance of a narrative that people have decided to spin for their own agenda. Here's the video that's gone viral. Let's watch before we give any commentary.
Help me! Please help me!
This is not your
bike. Please help me! Please help me! Help! Please get off!
Hey, what the fuck is going on, bro?
Yo, don't
take it,
bro.
Now you're not getting the bike, bro.
Help!
You're not getting the bike.
Get off!
I'm not. Why you took his phone? What's wrong with you?
You're not touching
his phone. You're not touching his phone.
I'm not touching you. You putting your stomach on my hand.
Help!
Dude, stop! No, dude, stop! No, 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 no. I said no. I said sit down.
Please,
she's just crying. You're not crying. You're not crying. I got
stupid.
I got your video. Wait, you pulled it out? Hassan, you pulled it out? Hassan. Hassan, you pulled it out?
This is my bike. It's on my account. Please move.
All right, so why don't we reset the bike?
I'm not resetting the bike.
It's his.
I'm
going to
take it out on your account.
You're an actor.
I don't give a fuck.
That's just my fake crying. Just fake crying. Stop fake crying.
Hey, stop touching me. I don't touch you.
Hold up.
Hey, stop touching me. Stop touching me.
Why don't you take this bike?
Stop touching me.
You're not touching me. I will.
Exactly. So take it. So take it.
Okay, you guys get it, right? There's clearly a squabble over this bike, who the bike belongs to, who's rented out the bike on the app, and this is a city bike, you know, those bikes that are laid across the city that you guys can grab at any moment, so long as you have the app on your phone, you scan it, you rent the bike out for as long as you need it, whatever. The story here, apparently, is ever developing. This woman is a nurse. I've also seen people report that she's a physician's assistant. I do not know, but she works at the hospital in New York City, where she was leaving a 12-hour shift to get one of these city bikes and presumably take it home or take it to some other location. So the narrative is spun due to this video that was posted out of context that this woman went to steal the bike from a black guy who was in a group of, I think, four other black males who were with him. So she went to take this bike from him just out of nowhere. And then this whole back and forth ensued. And this video gets posted on the internet. Tariq Nasheed, our beloved race baiter in the United States of America, tweeted out, "A suspected white supremacist woman tried to steal a city bike from a black kid after he paid for it, and when him and his friends wouldn't allow her to steal it, she went through all the Karen tactics to try to get the black youths hemmed up, screaming for help, fake crying, mayo blabbing," which I'm assuming the mayo is just to refer to her skin color, which is blatantly racist, but I digress. Let's continue. So this video goes out. Of course, it goes viral. A ton of people hop on it, including civil rights activist Ben Crump, who says this is unacceptable. A white woman was caught on camera attempting to steal a city bike from a young black man in New York City. She grossly tried to weaponize her tears to paint this man as a threat. This is exactly the type of behavior that has endangered so many black men in the past. So essentially accusing her of trying to put his life in danger. You know, had the police been there, you never know, the police officer might have pulled a gun on this young man and shot him, and he would have lost his life due to the remarks and the crying of this white woman. So this is the narrative that gets spun. Tons of people back it up. Here's a whole thread, if you guys want to take the time to go through it, of people calling this woman a racist, a white supremacist, saying she's weaponizing her tears, saying that she needs to be essentially doxxed on the internet, and she was doxxed, and that there needs to be repercussions for this action, and she needs to be held accountable for what she's done in this video. Of course, the internet goes wild. All the activists hop on it. Somebody gets this woman's address. It goes out on the internet. Her and her husband start receiving death threats. And as she mentioned in the video, she says, "You're hurting my fetus," as the guy is, I guess, pushing up against her. She is 6 months pregnant. So it turns out, and of course, this is developing, so we'll see what happens. It turns out the woman had rented the bike herself, and they do have the receipts to back up the fact that she had rented the city bike herself, and she is now, I guess, working with a lawyer to have these receipts put out to the public, and they have been, that she rented the city bike, and then this man came up and tried to take the city bike away from her with his group of friends. That's the story as it stands. And they have the proof because of this number that is listed on the city bike. She had a receipt for having that bike number under her name through her account. So now, because this video got posted out of context, it went crazy. All these people seeing it. She's been called a white supremacist. She's been doxxed. Her and her husband are getting death threats and apparently have had to leave their home because of the amount of threats that they've received. She's also been placed on leave from her job. All of this over a damn bike. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, I get that moments like this happen and we have our little squabbles back and forth with people on the street and you never know what's going to happen, so people film these things. But to post it on the internet and have it move in this direction, it should have never happened. This should have been a little argument you guys had in the street. You guys got over it. You figured out whose bike was who, and then it didn't need to go to the internet. But now, the internet warriors, regardless of who was right or wrong in this situation, are running with this narrative. Nobody should get death threats over arguing with somebody over a city bike on the street. It's just ridiculous. And you know, you have to point out that the outrage becomes particularly incendiary when you have a white person involved, right? It fits the dynamic, it fits the agenda, it fits the narrative. It's white versus black, therefore white supremacy, therefore racism, therefore she hates black people, and that is why this whole thing ensued in the street. Even if she was in the wrong, right, and she had walked up and felt so entitled as to steal a city bike from a young man on the street, would that be white supremacy? Would that be racism? Do you see how many leaps and bounds we have to make to get to that conclusion? But no, the Twitter warriors with their Twitter fingers can just hop on like Tariq Nasheed and Ben Crump and accuse this woman of weaponizing her tears and being a white supremacist. Unbelievable. I just can't believe that this is something we're talking about. Are we so like globalized and connected that we have to discuss a random argument between people in the street over a bike? I guess so.
Oh, clown world. There's such a powder keg of a narrative that is kind of pre-written out there that if one little video like this, I think this video got like 40 million views in a couple of days. But one video like this that any honest person can watch this and just think, okay, they're having a squabble over this. I don't know who's in the right, who scanned the bike first, whatever, but to run with that and then frame it as this suspected white supremacist is, you know, stealing this bike from these innocent black men and weaponizing her tears and all this stuff. It's such a clown world that we live in, and it brings back memories of the Central Park Karen situation I think we heard about. But man, the speed with which we jump to conclusions and people run and the keyboard warriors go into action is just insane. And so hopefully it's a lesson to all of us to like take a chill pill and wait for the facts before you hop on your keyboard.
Yeah, I know. Imagine how literally insane you have to be to start writing a death threat based on a 1 minute video that you saw on the internet of all these people who you do not know having an argument. How actually insane do you have to be as an individual? How little of a life do you have to engage in this sort of behavior on the internet? And again, it's incentivized, right? Because we feel good. We feel like this is the space to like hold people accountable and jump on them and by whatever means we deem to be necessary, chastise them for the behavior that we've seen in an out of context video. And again, it could come out tomorrow that there was a glitch in the city bike system and both of them rented the bike or something like that. It could have been anything. Nobody knows. And to watch an out of context video and just jump down somebody's throat based on judgments that you've seen like this are, it's just so very, very strange to me. But what a sign of the times that we're in, because another story like this will be the new fresh thing in a week from now. I remember, what was it, in New York City also, the guy who was walking his dog or something like that and filmed a white lady coming up and yelling at him. Why was it again?
Yeah, that's because, the Central Park Karen thing, I think.
Right,
yeah.
which started the phrase Karen, right?
Yeah, or at least like popularized it, I think.
And was it because he had an aggressive dog or something like that?
I think so. She asked him, do you remember, Scott? I think she asked him to put on a leash or something.
Yeah, it was something along those lines. It might have, I don't want to, you know, it's probably not true.
None of us want to overstate it, but you guys know
it was a tough looking dog.
Right, right. And then it ended up coming out that like that guy had gotten complaints for the same behavior multiple times before. And this whole thing sparked this, essentially a cultural movement. I don't know that it was that particular video that sparked everything, but it was certainly an inflection point for people filming others and then accusing them of being Karens and saying like, how dare you do this, and we'll bring accountability to them on the internet if we can't do so in the real world. And we've just been downhill ever since that was a thing. And I remember every news outlet was talking about this damn lady and this guy's dog. And everybody had something to say about it, because you can just make anything a story now. How many times have you guys been in random arguments or something, or like incidences with people in public? Now imagine somebody films what is probably a very poor moment in both of your lives and then posts it on the internet, and then you go viral for it, and that becomes who you are as a person to the millions of people who watch it. It's just crazy. And we mustn't forget the fact that this woman is 6 months pregnant, entering her third trimester in pregnancy, while all of this is happening, and you have all of these men surrounding you saying, no, it's my bike, you can't have the bike, whatever. What happened to chivalry? I don't care if, I honestly don't. I mean, she could have been a rude person who came up and, you know, took the bike, even though we have total evidence that the receipt was in her name and she has that exact number on her app. Wouldn't you as a young man be like, you know what? A 6 month pregnant woman, take the bike. I will walk. That is totally fine. Maybe you're in a more vulnerable position where a city bike might be a little bit more helpful for you than it is for me, because I have two legs and two arms and I can still walk. It's just crazy.
That seemed like common sense.
Right.
And, you know, I feel bad for her because of that. Also because of the knee-jerk outrage on the internet. But there's also the fact that her hospital actually suspended her. Like, you would think that, yeah, people on the internet, we should wait to exercise judgment and go out there and say things about this or cast her in a negative light until we have the facts. But for the hospital to like suspend her over this before they had the facts was pretty crazy. You'd expect that at least hopefully your employer stands by you, but no.
Right. And it's because these people like hop on and they get all the information that they can. And suddenly they're launching this movement to like everybody call the hospital, everybody give her a bad review and complain about this singular employee. And it happens to a lot of people on the internet. I've even probably seen it happen to, you know, the social justice types when they get exposed on the internet. I'm sure there are conservative people or right leaning people who call their jobs as well. But it seems to be a particularly pervasive problem for left leaning people because of how sensitive they are, that they will call others jobs. I saw this video on TikTok of these girls engaging in, yes, disgusting behavior with another girl online. It was these two white girls and an Asian girl, and they were on some video call. I don't know if it was Omegle or what other, like those random chat videos that you can get on and chat with random people through video. They get on and they start bullying this Asian girl. objectively wrong. They start, you know, moving their eyes and slanting their eyes to make fun of her, and they're making fun of her accent, all of these things. Horrible stuff. You shouldn't bully somebody. The girl records the video, posts the video, and boom, all of these people, like, where do they live? What are their kids' name? What school do they go to? What's their job? And I get, you know, if you want to comment on bad behavior on the internet and tell these people on their Facebook, like, hey, you probably shouldn't have bullied that girl. Here's me holding you accountable. I get the drive that people have to do those things. But to be like, no, this horrible moment in your life must ruin you forever, and I never want you to recover from this moment ever in your life, and you're not going to work anymore, and we're going to find out where your kids go to school, and we're going to call the school, and we're going to send you death threats to your homes. It's just insane.
Where's that same energy in finding out the actual informations of the incident at hand, as opposed to trying and gather the personal information of the person that was in the situation? Right. Like, how about you try and figure out the facts and details of why that situation even occurred in the first place? And it goes back to the city bike thing. Like, put that energy into waiting, getting all the details, all the facts before you just start attacking someone. And one can also infer, based on the language that this lady used, that she may be on the left because she called a 6-month baby within her stomach a fetus.
That's
so
true.
There are things within this situation.
New parent speaking.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It's just the emotional response to this is so overblown.
I know. And then suddenly everybody's an NSA agent when they're angry. It's like so crazy. Oh my gosh. I just hope I typically see myself out of encounters like this. And maybe if I was this woman, I would have just like left the situation and just been like, you know what? I'm going to call an Uber. I'm pregnant. I don't know what these guys are going to do right now. So I'm sure there's more to be gleaned from what actually happened that we're never going to get because they didn't videotape it all. And isn't that just the problem of the 21st century? They didn't videotape it all. And here we are. But people just make all of these sweeping judgments based off what they see. And if this does not scare you, I don't know what will scare you. The fact that people can see a 1-minute clip and just leaps and bounds make a judgment on it and then move that judgment into action against a person is actually insane. I was recently watching this video actually by a leftist, PhilosophyTube, you know, that trans leftist who's on the internet and makes philosophy videos about stoicism and how stoics believe that you should make proper judgments and life is all about making the right judgments and then, you know, basing your actions off of those correct judgments. Everybody's doing the opposite now. They're making these hasty generalizations and these quick judgments before anything's ever set in stone. And then they're going, you know what? I'm going to take this visceral feeling of anger and hopelessness and rage that I feel, and I'm just going to run with that. Let's not wait for anything else. Let's not wait for any other ideas to pop up or wait for me to maybe contextualize the situation. I'm just going to run with the anger part.
You just gave me an idea as you're sitting there talking. Like, have you seen that episode of Black Mirror where they get like a social credit score or whatever?
Nosedive,
which is actually happening in China and stuff too. But I'm not a fan of the social credit score thing. But imagine if you're on your social media, you have a score based on how much you overreacted to situations without waiting for all the facts and tweeted a bunch of falsehoods or slandered people or did things like that. And now you get dinged based on your reputation online with how much you waited for the facts. I generally oppose the social credit score, anything on that vein, but I could maybe be talked into something like that because it's interesting. My favorite part of all this was the community note on Tariq Nasheed's tweet, which Twitter community notes are like undefeated now, but if you guys aren't familiar on Twitter, there's like these notes that they're open source that Elon instituted now so people can just fact check you in real time. And the note said, the woman in the video paid for the bike and a lawyer provided receipts showing this is the case. Tariq Nasheed's claim that she is a suspected white supremacist is baseless. Nasheed frequently calls people with whom he disagrees suspected white supremacists. Them's the facts.
Oh my gosh. And I have my own personal history with Tariq Nasheed. I can't stand that man. He came after me and was like, she's not even a founder. foundational Black American, which means I'm not a descendant of slaves, which, like, yeah, totally. You're right about that. What's that have to do with any of the opinions or the facts that I'm giving you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And he's like, I don't even like Amala. She's not a foundational Black American. She has no right to speak on Black issues. He's a race hustler if I've ever met one. And of course, he hopped on this. And even with the community note, is defending what it is that he said and is still standing by the fact that he believes that this woman is a white supremacist.
There you go. I just put it in the chat, a little poll. So you guys, if you like the idea, should people lose social media status if they slander people and don't wait for the facts? Yes, no, or not sure.
Just be so hard to prove. It would just be something that got overtaken by the left immediately. It has to be honest.
An open source thing and not a top down thing.
Right.
Who gets to decide what is facts and all that? Then you're back in the same problem that Elon had to buy the platform for in the first place.
Right. It's just
slippery slope for sure.
Insane. And I mean, my heart goes out to this woman. Hopefully, again, even if she was in the wrong, it does not deserve the magnitude that it has received. It does not matter. And I'm sure this is going to be a developing story and we'll find out, she had it and there's the receipt, which we already have the receipt for her renting this bike. But we're going to find out more and then nobody's going to care because they only cared about the initial rage that they felt. They don't care about actually finding the facts later on. They just care that it fit their narrative and that they get to run with it. Now, we said we were going to go back and talk about Bud Light's controversy. This continues, guys. The war against Bud Light continues. And now, at the front and center of the battle is Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Marsha Blackburn. Here's out of HuffPost. Headline says, Ted Cruz launches Senate probe into Bud Light's ad with Dylan Mulvaney. The Texas Republican demanded the beer industry investigate on its own or have Anheuser-Busch apologize for the alleged Mulvaney infraction. Now, essentially what they're doing, Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn want an apology from Bud Light, which we have not received, and they want Bud Light to come out and say, you know what, we are going to completely distance ourselves from Dylan Mulvaney. This will never happen again. Their means to getting that apology seems to be launching a full complaint against Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch and asking them to conduct an investigation. Now, you're saying investigation. What do you mean? What could they possibly be investigating? Essentially, they're making the claim that by directly sponsoring Dylan Mulvaney, that they are marketing beer products to children. That's the, I would say, a little bit of a jump that they're trying to make here. But nonetheless, they say specifically because Dylan markets his videos as Days of Girlhood, where he very specifically uses girl instead of woman, that he is marketing to children, and therefore if he is sponsored by Bud Light, it is beer products marketed to children. And it says, quote, the use of the phrase girlhood was not a slip of the tongue, but rather emblematic of a series of Mulvaney's online content that was specifically used to target, market to, and attract an audience of young people who are well below the legal drinking age in the United States. The letter outlined some of Mulvaney's TikToks that the senators said prove Mulvaney's appeal skewed towards viewers too young to legally drink. It says, quote, what's sad is my page for like a second was a pretty safe space. And then it sort of recently has become like a culture war in the comments. That's what Dylan Mulvaney has said about his TikTok page. Now, I don't necessarily think it's a reach because Dylan Mulvaney does not have a young audience below the age of 21. I think we know that to be true. I don't know that it's the majority of his audience. I guess they'll have to break down the numbers on that and that'll be part of the investigation. But Dylan Mulvaney is an of age adult who is capable of drinking Bud Light. And I don't know that it's ever been a rule that you can't do such things in a video that children may possibly see. And I don't think Dylan ever expressly says children or anybody below the age of 21 should drink this drink. I'm not sure what the parameters are for an investigation on this, but it does seem like they're just using this as a means to get an apology from Anheuser-Busch. That's my thinking.
Yeah, it's little spurious, little bit of weak sauce with exactly like the how they're staking their argument.
Yeah.
But it is, I don't know. Is it political opportunism to kind of just jump in there and be like, see, guys, I'm piling on them too? Or right. Is there actually like, are they trying to apply political pressure on Bud Light? Deservedly so. And I mean, it's tough because, you know, you don't like to see the this whole movement being, you know, pushed to children and normalized to children by a figure like Dylan, and you don't like to see Bud Light doing what they're doing, so you want to push back, but I guess it's like we don't want to overextend ourselves and go on thin ice when we're making these pushbacks,
right?
Yeah, I think maybe the one claim that they may have some sort of standing in is the fact that Dylan took a drink of the Bud Light, whereas like I know in beer commercials you actually never see somebody drinking it
because
that's some violation. I forget which agency.
Yeah.
But maybe that's
maybe it. I kind of feel like it's a jump on Ted Cruz's part, and he is known to be kind of, you know, like flashy and bombastic, and you know, he wants you to know that he's the people's politician and that he's gonna fight for the same things, like fight against the same things that you hate, type of thing. I don't like when, you know, deceptive means are used to get to your ends, and I know that the left does that all the time, but this doesn't seem like a battle worth fighting for me. I think the people spoke for themselves when they stopped buying Bud Light, and these companies, whether you like it or not, have every right to endorse who they endorse and to sponsor who they sponsor, and Dylan Mulvaney, I think, is included with that, especially since Dylan Mulvaney does not ever expressly say that his page is for children. It is not a children's page, and it is not directly marketed towards kids. So, you know, I don't know that I agree with this movie, although I understand where it's coming from, and he's sort of hopping on the wave of people who are anti-Bud Light. I think there are better means to, I guess, fight the culture war, as it's been stated, and that goes with not supporting the, you know, the company that did this. And what if he does? What if Anheuser-Busch goes, you know what, we don't want to launch a full-scale investigation, we don't want to do that on our end, it's too much money, it's too many resources, here's an apology. Is anybody going to care about the damn apology? No, nobody's going to care. It's already said, it's already done, the ad's gone out. So to me, this seems like a waste of time. And I hope it's not our senators spending a significant amount of time on projects like this rather than things that can actually help and change your life. Because Bud Light issuing an apology for putting Dylan Mulvaney as a sponsor of their product, that's not going to change your life. It's not going to change your day-to-day. And other companies and corporations in the same sphere of influence have learned their lesson. You think another company is going to like hop out, at least another company with this very same audience as Bud Light, do you think they're going to hop out and be like, yeah, you know, we in full energy support trans rights? Probably not. I think this was a marketing lesson for many about knowing your audience and keeping that in mind when you are making marketing campaigns. So yeah, hopefully they're not spending too much time on this, because they have better things to do. But the backlash goes even further with Anheuser-Busch. I can't wait to tell you guys this story. New York Post posted, Anheuser-Busch loses LGBTQ+ rating for missing a key moment to stand up for Dylan Mulvaney. So they've shot themselves in both feet and are now in a wheelchair, you know, just rolling around, because they sponsored Dylan Mulvaney. And the right and people who are anti the gender movement said, you know what, we're done with Bud Light, we're leaving Bud Light. They lose billions of dollars, and then they go, I don't know what to do. We can't defend the choice because we've lost our customer base, and we can't take the side of our customer base because the left's going to be mad. So then they did this whole quiet thing where they sort of quietly moved their executives, who became like scapegoats for this entire movement, and they issued a statement but not an apology, and then they went, oh, will you guys forget that we did that? And nobody forgot. And now the Human Rights Campaign, which issues a corporate equality index to rate companies on their policies toward workers in the LGBTQ community, told the Belgian-based brewer that it will slash its perfect 100 score, according to a letter leaked to to USA Today on Thursday. Bud Light's parent company has been scrambling to fix the fallout from having Mulvaney associated with the brand. Sales of the nation's top-selling beer have plummeted nearly 25% since Mulvaney posted a photo of the Bud Light tall boy featuring her face, his face, on April 1st. And now the Human Rights Campaign is going, since you failed to defend Dylan Mulvaney after your campaign and after your sponsorship, we are going to slash your score. And this score affects them in a multitude of other ways. It's going to change their ESG score, which is essentially their standing with the government on the environment, on social issues, and on governance. And that hurts their bottom line as well. So they're not having a good time.
Yeah, they're caught between a rock and a hard place for sure. But, you know, this does kind of underscore the point that you made a minute ago, that the Ted Cruz situation is a little bit of a sideshow, because all this was happening before he stepped in. And, you know, like, no, the outrage was not that Bud Light was marketing their alcohol to minors. The outrage was that they were using Dylan Mulvaney to represent their brand. And the people that they market to do not stand for what Dylan Mulvaney stands for. And this was a win by we the people, by the consumer, by the everyday Americans who have drunk Bud Light for decades and now are saying, well, if this is the values and the ideology that you're going to be pushing down my throat, I'm not going to stand for that. I don't want anything to do with it. And it, to me, this whole episode of them losing so much money and having to pivot, and now they're caught between not being able to please the you know, corporate equality index, Human Rights Council people, and not being able to please their core audience. It's just it's a case study for a lot of other companies that are watching right now, and these giant corporations that are beholden to the Black Rocks of the world to get their ESGs, and so they can borrow money and operate their business profitably. But none of all that collapses if the customers don't buy your product anymore. And I think that's what's happening. And I think this whole situation has shown that the customers just have way more power than they realize, and they're using that.
Yeah. And all you have to do is really make one good example of a company. Then the other companies learn, they're quaking in their boots, they don't know what to do. Should they be beholden to the ESG scores, or should they be beholden to the people who buy their products? And at the end of the day, it's probably going to be a little bit of both, let's be honest. They're going to try to appease the ESG score people by sprinkling in a little bit of leftism and all of the social issues in their campaign. But I think what they're going to struggle to do is to find the line where their consumers will not put up with it. So they're going to inch out into the great unknown and try to endorse this sort of ideology and feed it to you. Or maybe they'll do so in ways that are very stealthy, like they'll do a leftist ad campaign, but they won't throw it out on YouTube, or they won't put it on the primetime slots of TV. And then they'll keep their more traditional American advertisements for the primetime so that you guys as consumers get to see it. I think what's going to happen is they're going to have to hire just, I don't know, marketing executives to figure out where the line is as far as how left they can go to appease the government and appease the ESG scores, and how far left they can go to keep you guys from, you know, not buying their product anymore.
It's going to be an interesting Pride Month here in about 10 days. That's yeah, for sure.
They're sweating.
It's interesting to see how all these companies do it. Yeah. The Dodgers, did you see the thing with the Dodgers? The Los Angeles Dodgers mm-hmm. had to kick out one of the groups that was going to be part of their annual Pride night because they were like expressly anti-Catholic or something. But it was like a drag or some type of, you know, group like that. So anyways, even the Dodgers already, you're seeing like here and there more responsiveness on the part of these big companies and brands that are taking into account the customer, which is to me is a great sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to add, like, if on top of this LA Dodgers thing, I believe the group was making a mockery of nuns at large and sisters because of their name and what they did out there in the world. But I was going to add that this is another example of if you're not convinced that this ideology is a religious movement at its core, this is just another example of that being the case. The LGBTQ plus and the human rights, I forgot what they were called, but
campaign,
they're holding them hostage and saying, like, no, you as a company, you need to sacrifice yourself for this movement. Otherwise, we're pulling this away. And they're doing that on the individual level, too. So even the consumer is feeling this pressure. So, you know, everybody's kind of up against it right now. And it's a matter of, you know, standing up against it and pushing back.
Yeah, and it's not sustainable. It's really not sustainable because there's going to be a new movement next week and they're going to have to try to keep up with that. And it's just simply not going to work. It's just unbelievable. There's a video. We'll have a video about this next week that's more in depth of like these people in Seattle who are arguing about who's going to be a board member. And this guy who's a sex offender is offered to be up on this board. And the girl's like, and this woman who's trying to find the merit and find who should be on this board of fixing homelessness in Seattle is like, he's a sex offender. Maybe we shouldn't have him on there. And another woman yells at her and is like, you shouldn't say that. And like, if he's a sex offender, I'm glad we should put him on the board or whatever. And I just watched that and I go, it's proof of something that I've been saying. It's you are the victim for now. Like, they care about women for now until it's the trans movement, and then they don't care about women anymore. And then something bigger happens, and then suddenly it's not trans people anymore. It's black people who are the victim. And then something else happens, and then they're not the victim anymore. It's the next group who's the victim. They will bounce around to where you won't even be able to keep track of what you should and should not say. At what point does this fail to be sustainable? I think we're getting there. As the backlash just starts to go back and forth between these multiple groups and all of their different issues, and we're all splintering off into our different factions in regard to these issues. We're going to move on to a couple of just more interesting things, react to a video here and a post there. Before on the show, months ago, we responded to a woman who put out a petition for changing airline seats and making them bigger to accommodate plus size individuals. We have another woman, a plus size woman, that is arguing that airlines should make plane aisles wider to accommodate larger passengers, calling the current layout discrimination. So now we have one person who's advocating to make the seats bigger, another person who's advocating to make the aisle bigger. We're gonna have like double wide airplanes.
B-52s all up in the air.
Yeah. So this is what we're going to be dealing with now. You know what? I'm all for a bigger airplane. You know, I'm all for more space in the seat. You know, I'm all often crammed in there when I'm traveling. But if it's to make the broader assessment that we need to start like accommodating health issues, then we have a different problem. You know, I'm here for the seats getting bigger and all that stuff because they are quite small, I will say. But I have a feeling this is a call for them to be much larger than they are at the current moment. We even had one woman say that if she needs two seats on an airplane, she should get the second seat for free. So we have multiple movements going on. We have larger seats, we've got larger aisles, we got second seat free, we got so many different. The airlines are gonna change, everybody. It's crazy that now with the way American health is looking, you might have a movement wide enough to make this happen.
Was that a pun?
That was not a pun.
enough to make it happen?
This is not a pun, but it is so very true. This might be something that's happening.
I guess you have to think that like they, when you think about law and stuff, a lot of there's like the reasonable person standard. And I would guess that in a similar way, the average airline seat is made according to the reasonable average size of a human. And so if you have a situation where that size, that's a growing number, could there be a case for like the airlines having to expand the size of seats? I think that's ridiculous. And I don't think they should have to do that because that's not necessarily their problem. But I don't know. That's an interesting thought.
If airlines have to actually, based on population data, start thinking about making the seats larger, we have a far bigger problem than what's going on at the airlines. That's a national emergency if that's what we're dealing with. It already is a national emergency with what we're dealing with, not only in adults, but in children right now. The record numbers of children who are living right now with childhood obesity is unlike anything we've ever seen before. And if that is not something that people are beginning to take seriously, or at least recognizing is a massive issue, then we are in clown world indeed. Because I don't know what to say about that. And I'm all for, you know, people wanting to feel comfortable and to love themselves and all these things. I think that's great. It's wonderful. But we should also be accepting the reality and accepting what is harmful, especially for children, because children don't really get to advocate for themselves. And if they're growing up with these problems, it's very likely that they will deal with them far into adulthood because they have never had the chance to build healthy patterns. So, oh my gosh, the national average is just getting it's getting higher and higher.
Yeah, this may be a stretch, but I was also thinking while you were reading this, is that there, outside of the size issue right now going on in America specifically, there also seems to be like this strange undertone of envy, which I feel like a lot of people in culture at large right now, you look, you know, you see the whole eat the rich, all that kind of verbiage and movement out there. And there seems to be like this envy that everybody deserves to sit in a seat like the first class seat, the size and whatnot, and get that experience regardless of what they do in their lives. And, you know, and it's like they deserve it. They don't need to strive for that and, you know, work on themselves in every aspect of life, whether it be health or business or, you know, knowledge or the pursuit of knowledge or anything along those lines. It just seems like there's that undertone within this movement as well, which is strange.
Everybody deserves everything all the time for simply being themselves and don't have to do anything to earn it. Nothing at all. And it's not, like you said, not just in reference to this whole like weight thing and the airplanes. It's literally everything. My story deserves to be told all the time. I deserve the higher position because I am who I am. Everybody deserves to feel fantastic and like they're billionaires every single day. And where there are differences in the way that people feel and the way they move about the world and the privileges that they get to use and have within their lives, I deserve that too for simply being me.
And that energy is what drives the movement to adapt the world to fit people's narcissism. So that's why we're changing the dictionary. That's why we're changing standards in sports and places like that, because we've learned to adapt the world to people's individual preferences or their envy of whatever, like Scott was saying. And to your point, Amala, like it's healthiness is just a real thing. And so if everybody is moving, we've normalized or even lionized this obesity thing. And that's not a good thing whenever we know objectively that, you know, there's a lot of negative health outcomes associated with that. And you know, we saw 70% of COVID hospitalizations were people who are obese. We know it's heart disease, the number one killer of Americans. That's largely associated with obesity. So that's just hard reality that we should be adapting our behaviors and adapting our individual choices to move back toward a place of health rather than adapting the world to accommodate our lifestyles that we've chosen. And again, all the usual, you know, we're not here to shame obese people, and there's lots of reasons those things happen, but like you were talking about the kids and stuff like that, it's just, you know, we gotta just have a reality check here. And I think this story, as ridiculous as it is a good reminder of that.
Right, there are instances where there is just literally no excuse, and the instances with children is one of them, 100%. Let's talk about some people who, I mean, maybe misconstrued to be on our side. Let's watch this crazy video out of the Whatever podcast. I think Destiny and his wife went on the Whatever podcast. I didn't watch all of it. I've just seen clips. And they were up against, I guess, what you would deem to be some red pill males talking about different issues. I just saw this clip in particular, and I had to share it with you all to experience what I've experienced.
If there's someone that's very, very young and goes into a marriage and has kids when they're like 18, 19, 20, a year into the relationship, it gets really, really abusive. Even though it might be rare from what you guys think.
It is.
If it would happen, what would you recommend for those people? Would they divorce, or do you want them to keep going in the relationship?
Keep going.
You can't divorce, and that's not a real thing.
Even though it might be like physically abusive?
Because you got to endure. People are too...
You want to stick into the relationship?
People are just... people nowadays are just... Situation.
For anyone that might be in that situation, what would you recommend?
Okay,
endure.
It is such an extreme example that I can't give a prescription for what other people should do.
What about if two people get married, have a kid, and then the wife starts cheating? Do you think they should divorce?
Absolutely. Jesus himself said in cases of adultery, divorce is
permissible. So you think the divorce is worse than physical abuse?
No. For the children?
Or cheating, sorry. You think that cheating is worse than physical abuse?
For the children, yes.
Absolutely.
I just can't.
Abuse, endure. Wife cheats on you? Absolutely divorce. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. But abuse, physical abuse in your relationship, endure. Stay with it for the children, because it's really good for the children to watch daddy beat mommy in our marriage. And that's going to build real strong boys and girls. The lack of just consistency, logic, anything. And I'm just saying in this clip in particular, I don't watch these men outside of, I appreciate the one man who said, you know, that's an extreme situation. I am not in the position to give advice to people who are dealing with that in their own lives. That is really the only acceptable answer outside of if somebody is abusing you. We kind of know that those things tend to escalate, and that if you stay and endure, right, that things can go wrong for you, and that you're in fact maybe teaching somebody that it's acceptable to treat you that way. But they endured, right? That's the thing about those old traditional women. They endured the abuse.
No, total insanity. As our resident Christian here, I mean, Scott's a Christian too, but man, that is an insane take to me. And I just have to say that that is not something that all Christians believe, that a wife should not be able to leave a husband who is physically abusing her. That's messed up. You know, we're told that the husband's duty is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and he died for the church. He didn't abuse people and hurt people. So that's a really poor interpretation of a scripture if that's how you're dealing with that. A spouse who's being abused. Right. That's messed up.
Yeah. Gosh, the insinuation that like women that leave abusive relationships are just sensitive. I think he even said they are P words. This is why, you know, when I hear from like leftist women who are like, I watch like this red pill men content and I think they're disgusting, or like I can't stand by what they're saying, or like this is toxic masculinity, or this is something that I can't stand by, and they use it as like a broad brush to paint all men. If you were watching something like this and hearing this, I would be like, okay, well, yeah, if you think that's what most men are like, and if you think this is the message that they endorse, I would totally get why you would have a problem. Because that's messed up. I think it requires nuance. And I think it's very clear that most men do not agree with what was just said there. But wow. Oh my gosh. Is your head up your butt? I just don't know.
Yeah. Him calling everybody the P words is a little aggressive. Because I think he was speaking about everybody at large, society at large.
Right.
I think that's what he was talking about. But also like the endure aspect can absolutely be applied to the situation of, you know, if you're significant other, spouse, what have you, cheated on you, there's an element that's true right there in which you need to endure, but you also need to endure and find out why it is that occurred and what within your relationship led that other to do that, and try and can reconnect with them, especially if you're married, you know, at a
right.
deeper level. Like obviously that is a betrayal that cuts insanely deep, but you know, using that same logic of endurance, you know, put that in that same energy into your
right.
relationship if someone were to cheat on you in that situation.
Yeah.
Like there, right. that can be used against you as well.
100%. I'm all for this idea of endurance and enduring through rough times in a relationship. I think one of the things that a lot of maybe young women in particular get wrong about relationships is that everything's supposed to be sparkles and sunshine and perfect all the time, and he's totally Prince Charming and you never go through rough patches. So if you hit a rough patch, you leave and you dip out. But yeah, I think what they failed to distinguish is the difference between a rough patch and beating your wife.
Yes.
I mean,
physical
yeah.
abuse is not just a rough patch. That is grounds to leave immediately and get safe first, and you know, deal with whatever you're going to deal with later,
right.
but just get out of there.
Right. And to these guys, if you ever hear this, that would be for the children, right? You don't stay yeah. in that position for the children. You leave that position for the children, because children don't just need a mom and a dad. They need a healthy mom and a dad who do not hit each other. So anyways, that's all I wanted to say about
that. We did
that.
Get a $100 super chat, so we're going to read
oh,
that immediately.
You.
It's from Halora. She says, I love this show. To you all, please continue to share facts and point out hypocrisy. So thank you very much.
I just had you on that one. My jaw, I immediately sent that to Taylor on TikTok as soon as I saw it. And I think I just put insanity underneath it and just sent it to him when I heard that. And maybe it's just because these men don't know what abuse looks like. And maybe they're thinking it's just like, oh, we got in an argument or something and he dropped a plate, or like, you know, smacked your hand or something like that. That's not, I don't think, what she was trying to characterize when she was giving that example. I'll try to give them grace on that point, but my goodness, endure. Okay, let's get into super chats, guys.
Let's do it. Okay, let's see. First one today is from Savrix, who says, imagine you needed a remaining population to be dumbed down on consumption via hip-hop and fast food, happily in bondage to Big Daddy government handouts. You can't run your business, but here's a stimulus check.
Soft totalitarianism, baby. That's what that sounds like to me. We're all doped up on Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton story. Pizza Hut wings. And Instagram. Yeah, I know, 100%.
Thank you, Savrix. All right, Over Easy Egg says, hey, Amala, just curious if you ever checked out that song, The Bigger Picture, that I mentioned. I don't agree with everything said in the song, but definitely a valuable perspective, not completely left.
Yeah, I did look it up. I looked up the lyrics. I did not listen to the video yet, but I know it's like very heavy with George Floyd. For those of you who are listening now, this super chatter recently asked about this song by Lil Baby called The Bigger Picture. I haven't listened to it, but I can see the perspective that is being brought about in the lyrics. He says, quote, they're killing us for no reason, been going on for too long to get even. Interesting. I will listen to it at length, and maybe there's more to this perspective than exactly what I'm reading here. I will say, so difficult to just read rap lyrics rather than listening to the music. I gotta put that out there. Have you ever seen the video of Ben Shapiro reading WAP?
Oh, it's, God, yes.
It's just hilarious. It's a totally different ballgame to read these lyrics. It's very unintelligible, but I like listening to rap.
I got a comedy TikTok on my feed the other day of a guy. He was like this, you know, middle-aged white guy, just basic white dude, and he was comparing the outrage formerly of the song Baby It's Cold Outside and how that was like crazy at the time to Lizzo's WAP, and or not Lizzo, who Cardi B.
Cardi B, yeah.
And he like read a verse of Baby It's Cold Outside and then immediately read a verse of WAP, and just it was a great bit. But anyways,
yeah, it's just there, I guess. Crazy. Yeah, it's offensive to say, like, to give a girl a drink. And what is the line in Baby It's Cold Outside that is particularly offensive? Say what's in this drink. That's the offensive line in Baby It's Cold Outside, meaning alcohol, not like he
roofied
Mickey'd her. Yeah. Like, what the heck are you talking about? Oh my gosh. But yeah, but we can talk about all the different sex acts that these women do with different men, and Cardi B actively getting on the internet and proclaiming about, you know, drugging and robbing the men who came to her strip club. That's totally fine. But say what's in this drink from Baby It's Cold Outside needs to be taken off.
Atrocious.
Crazy. Yeah.
Someone said Lil Baby It's Cold Outside needs to do a remix. JB says, have you ever spoken with John Cooper from Skillet?
I have never heard of that man. No.
I have.
I do not know that man.
Skillet is like one of those Christian bands. I think they're Christian, like overtly, but maybe like less so, kind of like Switchfooty, like Christian.
Okay.
But
he's tatted. I see what he's got going on. Okay.
But I think he does podcasting and stuff now. So
interesting.
We should look into him. See what he's up to. Julia Presseau says, I would love to see you react to a movie I recently watched streaming. Have any of you seen Soft and Quiet?
No. Mm-mm. Why does it sound like it's actually a scary movie? Soft and Quiet. A 2022 playing out in real time, an elementary school teacher organizes a mixer of like-minded women when she encounters a woman from her past, leading to a volatile chain of events. No, I've never heard of it. I'm always looking for new movies, though. So it's rated R.
We'll check it out. Thanks
for the
rec,
guys.
Oh, Blumhouse.
Blumhouse?
What?
So it is scary.
They'll produce it. Yeah.
Oh.
Pretty sure Blumhouse makes scary movies.
I don't like scary movies.
A little bit of a thriller.
I don't like scary movies either, but I do like thrillers.
Yeah. Fine line there.
Fine line.
All right. Ashley West says, people should lose the ability to post on social media if they're slandering others. Three strikes, you're out.
Slippery slope. Slippery slope, y'all.
Bjork Oladotir says, daily super chat love from the Faroe Islands, as
Thank
always.
You.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Yeah, from your beautiful homeland.
Yeah, I'm working on the pronunciation of both your name and Faroe Islands.
Oladotir?
So I get them right.
Oladotir. Hope I said that right. Probably
Oladotir.
Not.
Dixon Butts. Welcome back. I've always imagined that his core audience consists mostly of preteens and teens. Would I have been wrong to make that assumption? I guess referring to Dylan Mulvaney.
I would imagine that it is I would say teens to early 20s would be Dylan Mulvaney's main audience. I don't know about preteens, but I imagine there are quite a few. I mean, he has probably over 10 million followers now, so you can imagine the age is going to be ranging all over the place. But it's TikTok, so we're talking early 20s, teens.
Yeah. Bjork Oladotir again says, I didn't go through 40 weeks of pregnancy, 36 hours of labor, 3 times of mastitis, 10 months of breastfeeding, and postpartum depression to be referred to as a birthing person.
You see, that's really offensive and transphobic, so we're going to have to report you to the Human Rights Campaign.
That's one strike that against is one you strike, for slander right? on our channel. Right.
See? It's very important who wields the sword on that one.
36 no. hours of labor? Wow.
That's crazy. Wow. That is insane. Wow. I didn't even think about that. I just heard 36 and I was like, oh, it's 16 or something like that. 36 is insane. Girl, more power to you.
Yeah, I have nothing to say. That is a mic drop. Thank you. Brianna Simons says, hi from Australia. I love watching what's happening in America so I can prepare myself when my copycat country brings all these whack politics.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what's going to happen over there. You guys were ahead of us on the whole COVID thing, though.
I was about to say.
You know, I mean, sometimes you're a winner.
A little cray cray.
I think we were inspired by you.
Text Fraud says, I missed the last few vids. I have repaid my debt now. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Welcome back.
Yes, you literally have to pay us to be able to watch the video. So they're free, right. But we appreciate the love. Man Bear Pig. Another, you're a repeat super chatter.
He's a repeat offender.
From you. Yeah. That's triggering word after that story that you mentioned
so
earlier.
So sorry. I'm glad he's a sex offender.
South Park fan. Let's just call him South Park fan.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, Man Bear Pig says, let them make bigger aisles and seats. They call out airlines for being discriminatory against poor people when they have to raise the prices of tickets.
See, then we're all going to be flying Spirit at that point. And who knows whether or not we'll survive that. I love that Spirit is like, does not really have planes that crash, but has the reputation of having planes that crash. I really feel bad for them, but you know, soon they'll be like standing Spirit, as I always say, where you're just going to be standing on the plane. You know what I mean?
Maybe. There may be fights going on around you and people stealing each other's things, but you know.
Oh, so much stuff happens on Spirit planes. Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I will say I'm not above flying Spirit though. I mean, it's not the greatest, but they have a nonstop to LA that I take from Nashville sometimes because it's just the perfect time for me to go just in the day. So I'm not above it.
The only thing I'm against is that their chairs aren't cushioned.
Yeah, or you can't lean back.
Horrendous.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Zeke Sutton says, hello, and currently on a plane from Hawaii to California. The seats are too small for everyone, but I don't see a way to fix it and still keep the airlines profitable.
I just find it hard to believe. I think they could make
I'm surprised there's not like one bougie airline that's like, yeah, we're just going to have big old seats and you're going to pay a little extra, but you're going to get big seats for everybody.
Right.
Because that's the problem. It's like first class is like 3-4 times more expensive than a normal seat. It's like, can we have a middle option? Maybe. I guess that's economy plus, but even those aren't that.
They could do one with no first class and it's just like all like Delta Comfort Plus seats. You know what I mean?
Epinobi Airlines. They'd support it. And we wouldn't be woke either. No ESGs from us. All right. That Delia girl says, thank you for the call out. So glad you got the gifts.
Oh, thank you so much. I've literally put this immediately on my keys. So my little soot sprite's hanging out. It's very cute. Thank you so much. It's so sweet.
Or rock the shirt. That's a first. Amala's rocking the shirt that somebody sent.
That is true.
She also said, did you hear and see the Pride Target trans kid clothing?
I did, and it's so lame. Oh my gosh, we should have done maybe a little mini story on that, but Target does it every year. Their shirts are just really lame. Some of them are kind of good, kind of like Gen Z humor good, but maybe we'll do it in a separate video one of these days.
Yeah, the trans baby stuff was weird.
Taylor, did you see
the trans baby
thing? The what thing?
Oh, I was gonna ask about the Adidas thing with the swimwear stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we almost talked about that today. The Adidas hired a biological male to model women's bathing suits. Yeah, I heard they had like baby onesies that say, you know, trans pride or something like that.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking
now, but
I don't
see it. Which is just like parents projecting their ideology onto their kids.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Wild. Okay. Reese says, how much problems could be solved just by correcting old statements online instead of causing a bad slash worse telephone game caused by disproven old info.
Yeah, people never stick around for the, you know, the actual story. That's the unfortunate part, I think, is, and maybe it's an issue, you could spin it, honestly, a leftist could spin it as an issue with capitalism, although I just think it's maybe just an issue with our news cycle is what we incentivize. We don't incentivize people telling correct news. We incentivize people telling fast, vapid news. That's what we incentivize. Whoever gets the story out fastest is going to reap the largest reward, and whoever has the craziest headline is going to reap the largest reward, because they don't even care about the content of their articles anymore. They care about the advertisements that are placed on the side of the articles. So if you click it to read the headline and to read the rest of the article, that's a win for them. It doesn't matter if anything that they've said is true. So it's a much deeper issue than printing corrections, because they don't care about the corrections.
Yeah, I just saw that Denzel Washington clip where he said, if you don't read the news, you're uninformed. If you read the news, you're misinformed. Yep. But he went on to say, he was talking to the press and he was like, you guys have a big responsibility. And it's not just to be the fastest to get it out there, but it is to be accurate. But yeah, there's not a lot of money in that. So it's a difficult thing. But I will say the community notes on Twitter are really helpful, because you can tweet that crazy false thing like Tariq Nasheed did, and then within a day it's on there, and everyone who sees your tweet also sees the correction, and I think that's about as good as you can do.
Yeah.
And the correction is not sourced by people that work at Twitter, it's sourced by the public, so I think that's also an important point.
Amazing.
All right. Florida Giants were real says, I got five on it. Well, now let's go half on a sack. Not sure how, what to make of that one.
I'm also confused.
Yes, I think we'll need a little more context there. Brandon Reynolds says, in my case, it was mom abused dad and my dad tried to stick it out. But after both abuse and cheating on her part, he divorced her. But any spouse should be able to leave, and I'm a Christian too.
Yeah, that was the really like, if anybody on either side of your relationship, the female part or the male part or whatever relationship you're in, if anybody's abusing you, maybe you don't deserve that. And maybe you should leave that situation. And of course, it depends on what your definition of abuse is and all these different things. And it's getting, you know, skewed as the more sensitive we get. But if somebody's outright abusing you, and especially physically, maybe that's not a situation that you need to endure.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Priscilla Cortez says, hey, Amala, watching you from my home in Miami. Love your work and take on many things. Keep it up. Shout out to Florida girls.
Thank
Let's
you.
Go Heat.
Florida girls.
Do you know which
Miami
sport?
Heat. Hey. Okay. Basketball.
What sport is that? Okay. Wow. Hey. We got it, guys.
Yeah. Look at that.
How many other Florida sports teams can you name?
Orlando Magic. Okay. And they play basketball. Okay. You got the Gators. They play football. You got the Seminoles. They play football. You got the Solar Bears. They play hockey. Okay.
Whoa.
Who else do you got?
Is that a minor league team?
You know what? Solar Bears. I really don't know.
Do you know,
but we do
you
have
named
the Solar
two college
Bears.
Football teams. Do you know any of the yeah. pro teams?
Tampa Bay Rays. Is that something?
That's baseball.
Yeah. That's baseball, but that's okay. That counts.
One of the baseball teams.
They play ball. That's they all play they ball. Play ball.
That's all I got. Sorry.
Okay. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think you were looking for.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they play football?
Football.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You got the Florida Marlins in baseball. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars. Anyway, we did this once, and it's a
Florida
really
stats.
Fun game to
hey,
play.
Guys, Amala. Clearly, I'm learning.
Amala sports knowledge.
Yeah.
But thank you, Priscilla. That was fun. Kate Svensson says, the memory of physical violence penetrating the walls of my room as I hid under the bed, hysterical. If proof enough... that staying in an abusive relationship is not good for children.
Right. I just cannot believe that your justification was for the children. Like, that's the argument that you make. And I think it maybe is this idea that a lot of people hold that children do not absorb things and that children are not necessarily on the same cognitive level as adults. While that might be true as far as their development, they absorb more than any other person in your family. They are literally watching, taking in, miming, mimicking everything that they see. And if what they're seeing is dad hitting mom or mom hitting dad, guess what they're learning? They're learning that that's what real relationships look like, because that's what my mom and dad looks like. And if at some point they learn that that's bad, then they're like, holy hell, I just watched my mom or my dad get abused my entire childhood. So many layers to why that's wrong.
Indeed. All right. Dixon Butt says, every time I've done my groceries lately, I've wondered how do obese people do it? Are obese people rich? I don't understand how.
Well, I mean, you would argue that a lot of unhealthy foods are quite cheap. I mean, and I think there is an argument to be made there that a lot of people say, like, you know, resources can be lacking. And if you have a lack of resources and education, then you're in for a really big problem. Every time I go to like the Smart and Final, which is like the cheaper version of grocery stores here in LA, it's like cookies, Rice Krispie treats, sugary cereals, like processed the produce. Mm-hmm. Yeah, processed stuff. The produce isn't really great or anything like that. And it does take a little bit of like wherewithal and knowledge to make sure that you're eating healthy and doing so in a way that is, you know, economically right for your family. And I do think there's more that we could do surrounding that. However, you also have neighborhoods where it's like in Chicago, some of these neighborhoods, why would you put up a Whole Foods if the Whole Foods is getting looted every single day and nobody is getting anything? There's this heart-wrenching, heartbreaking, like I can't even describe how sad this made me feel, a video of a black woman walking through a grocery store in Chicago trying to shop for her baby and her family, and there's nothing on the shelves. Everything is broken on the floor. There's glass everywhere. They've spilled stuff everywhere. They've looted everything. And she is just in tears, crying about the fact that she has to walk through this grocery store to provide for her family, saying that, like, and holding the people in her community accountable for it and saying, you're making us look like animals and you're making me feel like an animal having to be in this situation. So it's like a multifaceted problem. But there definitely is an argument to be made that unhealthy food is way cheaper. Yeah.
All right, we got Black Bouquet next says, I don't support airlines changing how lanes are designed for the morbidly obese. I, being an overweight woman myself, am offended that these people won't fix their own problems. Yep. So there you go.
We lack some sort of personal accountability in today's day and age, and that seems to be a prime example.
Bjork again says, it's amazing how well America was running by a businessman and how quickly a career politician can destroy it.
Yeah, I mean, I even struggle with this president to feel like he's making any decisions at all. So I don't even know who's behind this current administration and the choices that they've made. I don't know what's going on. Full shutdown until we figure out what the hell is going on.
the weekend at Bernie's is real life. Azalea says, mind blown emoji. There are multiple cases where the mother or father who were being abused left only to return and ultimately be killed by said spouse, and some where the kids were also killed, like that taxi driver.
Oof. I don't know about the taxi driver.
I don't know about that, but I believe that
there's some insane stories. You need to get wise quick when you're in a situation like that. Again, if you teach somebody that that's acceptable and you're going to stick around for it, what do you think that tells them? That they're going to have to escalate to get more responses from you. There's so many stories of women being like, hey, I'm coming to the police because I'm worried about this guy or I'm worried about this thing. And then they do whatever they have in as far as like superficial resources for her. And then she's dead. There's a lot of stories like that. And I like to just think it's ignorance. Like they're just speaking out of ignorance. And, you know, it's this whole thing where if you say something on the internet confidently enough, people take it as fact. That's what I like to think is happening. But oh my gosh, I hope they don't have these large audiences of young men thinking that that is acceptable.
One can hope. All right. Dustin Malsom just gave a super chat. No message. Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you.
Gordon Murray says, Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Abusing your wife is not acceptable. Thank you, Gordon.
It's not acceptable.
See, real ones know. Those guys are clowns.
Real recognize real.
Bjork again says, just a friendly reminder to everyone in the chat, next time you feel dumb, just remember there are still people who watch The View every day. Yes, you guys are pronouncing my name correctly. Good job, guys.
Heck yeah. Winner is savage. A winner.
York, you're a savage. I love
savage.
It. Nicole Perez says, John 3:16. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think that's on the In-N-Out cups too.
I think it is.
Alicia J says, hey team, love you all. Your personalities each bring something special. I always wait for the lives and can fall asleep to reruns.
Oh, thank you. We're very soothing. We're a soothing channel.
Fall asleep during the Amala's part, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like being at a sleepover with friends, you know?
let's see. Ashley West says, Miami Dolphins, go to a Roll Tide.
Ooh. Hey. Those are fighting words to Taylor.
Yeah, I'm an LSU guy, so
he's a go Tiger.
Go Tigers. Yeah, but thank you for the super chat. We can still be friends, I guess. Alex and Teus, what's going on, man? Hey there, gang. I had to throw in another AI question. Do you guys think we will evolve into the Ex Machina situation with all this AI stuff? Wow, just going straight for intense...
I don't think we personally are going to evolve in that way, but I do think they're working on like prototypes of AI, you know, humanist type things that can do that. They already have ones that exist. They're just not very convincing. So,
wait, evolve? Yeah. When you said you don't think we're going to evolve, you mean that like we as like biological organisms won't merge with...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm down with this whole transhumanist thing. I think we're going to use AI to our benefit. I don't know that we're going to become like Ex Machina bots where our whole neural network is like in a computer. Maybe. That'd be interesting. Maybe the people who want like immortality would...
Yeah, I forget the super old I think he's Japanese, like genius guy. He's been on Rogan a couple times, but he's into all that stuff.
Yeah.
But he was talking about how a lot of these like AI types and super scientist types are motivated to do that so that they can put their consciousness into eternity by loading their consciousness onto, you know, some other entity and not die and get immortality that way. So
yeah, which is weird. Is it really immortality at that point? It doesn't really sound like it to me. I heard the deep fake the guy who does deep fake Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. He did this interview with Colin and Samir, which is a YouTube channel that I follow and I recommend to you guys if you just want to hear about other people who are running successful businesses and stuff. But he has a deep fake software that is apparently so good that they are possibly working on the idea of being able to upload like your ancestral links and lineage and stuff like that. And maybe you now as a person could upload your personality, neural network, certain responses you would have. And then your grandkids down the line will be able to converse with you when you've passed.
That's kind of cool.
That'd be a nah for me, dog.
He's like, no thanks.
Let's not go down that road, man.
Yeah. So if you have like great, great, great grandkids that want to be like, you know, what was Scott like when he was around? They can like talk to you on the internet.
It'd be like a closed thing. So I don't know. It's kind of like a super video. Like instead of taking a video of myself and saying, hey, this is what I'm like, they'd have like this little interactive thing. I don't hate that idea.
I hope my great great grandkids know who I am by the way that their parents have raised them, so they know me through their parents and the lineage itself. That's all natural.
And maybe they can go back and watch the old-fashioned podcast.
Ray Kurzweil is like one of those big proponents of this singularity stuff. MIT way back in the
day. Is that the deep fake guy?
No, he might not be the deep fake guy, but he's been behind the whole singularity and the convergence of bio and tech at some point here in the near future, and he's one of those big proponents.
Yeah,
so,
they're pushing for it. No thanks.
No, thank you.
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think it was something I'd ever invest in, but no.
Yeah, and Scott, you do make the point that is the preferences that you live on through your values and through the things that you've passed on to your children and stuff. So that is more important for sure. Mama C says, women's rights are human rights. Men do not share my issues or get to push their wants into me. My gender is being hijacked. We all come into this world through a one-way canal. Don't have it. Shut up. Go Tigers. I love the punctuation on the end.
That is so funny. Amazing. Yeah, no, it's very, very true. Wasn't that the Dave Chappelle joke that got him in trouble? Was that we're all born that way and that's what y'all got to deal with? And oh my gosh, boy, did that get him in hot water.
Telling it like it is. I love it, Mama C. Thank you.
Like I see it.
MR says, first time catching you live. Love your work. I appreciate listening into your views and challenging my own in the process. Happy to get a chance to contribute to the Unapologetic team.
Amazing.
Thank you, MR. We appreciate you. Bjork again says, everyone asking why I use a Turkish lira in the super chat. It's because I use a VPN.
Heck yeah. Okay, she's smart.
Smart.
I don't use one. I know I should use a VPN, but I really don't.
So is she really in the Faroe Islands?
Yeah, right. Who knows?
Yeah, this is true. Who knows? No, she must be. If we had a VPN sponsor, this would be a great time to plug them
from ExpressVPN, right? Oh my gosh. I'm so sick of it because everybody has an ExpressVPN sponsorship. It's kind of annoying at this point. Like, I don't know whether or not I can actually trust ExpressVPN because I know they just pay a bunch of people to tell me to buy ExpressVPN. Anyway,
what's really going on here? It's like the mattress firm conspiracy theory. Jonathan Wren says, if I were the airlines, I would reach out to the people making these complaints and offer to pay for a personal trainer for them for up to a year to get them to be fit for flight.
It might be cheaper than changing the seat layout.
Airlines should be like one of the companies, like, or the industries that is most active in advocating for public health, if you think about it.
They should put...
because they stand to gain something.
Yeah. What if they... you know how airports have, like, the little lounging areas? What if they had, like, a little gym area in the airport?
That would be awesome.
Although, but I want a bunch of sweaty people sitting next to me on my flight? Probably not. Y'all have to turn those HEPA filters up, baby, because I can deal with that.
I could put... they could put gyms in the little lounges and make those more affordable because then you could shower and stuff after too.
Dude, I can't tell. There's this country that has this crazy airport with like all these art installations and like, is it Shanghai?
I think Singapore.
Singapore. It's a Singapore airport. Yeah. That place is crazy. You could live in that airport for the rest of your life and it'd be like living luxury.
I've been insane. There. It's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Let's see. Stephanie Fonseca says, advice on grief. People say there's no right way, but I feel like I've been judged for mine. I don't feel like I have the right to pray either, as I don't attend church anymore, never had to deal with family death.
This is not a question for me. This is something I haven't really personally dealt with too close to me. That might be a Taylor or a Scott question.
Oof.
Sorry, guys. Sorry to punt it off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I lost my grandfather this year and a grandfather last year, and you know, obviously it's not fun. And I think everyone deals with grief in different ways. But I would definitely say, like, don't entertain any thoughts of other people's judging you for how you're grieving. And for me, it was like, didn't all really hit me at first, but writing was really therapeutic. I had to take some time, and like, you know, once it did, I felt a lot of like the different, just me processing it and the emotions of it was below the surface. And it was like, okay, something's going on here. I need to like figure out how I think and feel about this. And just getting all my thoughts and feelings on paper was really healing. And, the funeral was really healing. I spoke at my grandfather's funeral last year, and, that was difficult. I bawled, I cried my eyes out, but it was also, you know, something that you needed to do. And so it sucks. It's painful, but it's a whole process. And I just say, you know, just go through it, give yourself grace. And, you know, hopefully you have some people that love you, around you that you can kind of draw from and lean on. And, definitely don't feel any judgment from God on not feeling worthy to pray or anything like that. If you're inclined to pray, then he's there with open arms, and I would definitely you know, pursue that if that's something that you are inclined to do. So I don't know, that's about as good as an answer as I can muster on the fly.
Yeah, you nailed that one, man. I second all of what he said. Another thing I would add to it is, I too have lost a few family members here recently, and have gone through that same sort of difficulty. But one of the ways, as you're grieving, you know, through the process, it's also important, or at least I believe it's important from my standpoint, to keep them alive and, you know, continue to talk about them with your family members and your friends and keep them alive in that sense. And remember them for who they were and the good times that they showed you. If they did show you good times, I believe they did. But, you know, keep them alive and honor their memory in that way. And I think that helps with the grieving process because then it doesn't feel as though they've left you. They're always going to be there with you by your side. So that's something I would add on there today.
Fantastic. Great job, guys.
Yeah, you made us get real there for a second, Stephanie, but we appreciate it and thank you for being a part of what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And our thoughts and prayers are with you as well. Mm-hmm. Brittany Quintana says, go Tigers. Oh, thank you again. Wow, got some LSU
fans everywhere.
I love it. You're so pretty, girl. That one's not for me. That's for you. Thanks for being so positive. I'm a soon to be mom and scrolling through YouTube. I see how much negativity there is. I love how you have positivity on your show.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations. I'm so excited for you. That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, Brittany. Alicia J says, additionally, music reactions might be fun segments, guys. Music is healing and insightful, helping me through the insanity of society.
Yeah, I've thought about doing that on the second channel, some music stuff and other like reactions to songs that come out and stuff. It's very rare that we get music that sort of goes viral for something that's up our alley here, but if it does, we'll do it. Except for Tom McDonald. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I refuse.
The other tough part is copyright. We always run into if we play more than a few seconds of any song, we get dinged for copyright and you get strikes on the channel and it's just a mess. So
right. We
usually play it better safe than sorry. But
well, I do see a lot of comments asking for Amala to go ahead and grab that axe back there. You know,
it's a kid size, guys. Shred. I know it looks like a normal guitar. It's literally like a little baby's guitar back there.
Giving away our secrets. Let's see. Jessica Padgett says, hi, as someone who works for the airline you love to make fun of, I can say that we were voted number 2 best airline in the U.S. I don't like our seats either, but if acquired by JB, JetBlue, I'm guessing, that might go away.
See, I'm pretty sure Spirit has not had a plane crash, even though it has the reputation of having planes crash. It has not had a plane crash. This is what I'm talking about, guys. Reputation is everything. Perception is reality. It's kind of crazy.
Someone wrote a song about reputation.
Sorry for roasting your employer.
Yeah, see, I stood up for Spirit. Just for let the record show.
Hey.
I said I wasn't above it, and I benefit from them. So there you go.
If you ever pitch that standing idea, let us know. You got a direct line.
Alex again says, another question. Do you guys think the Matrix will ever become reality for us with the way AI is advancing so fast? Is it inevitable, guys?
Matrix meaning you're plugged into a VR world, basically. That.
Yeah,
and it's probably almost already... I mean, it depends. Like, if we're in a watered-down version of that now, so.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg bet big on the Matrix last year, and Facebook totally cratered, or Meta.
Right.
So maybe he jumped the gun a little bit, but I'm sure it's all going to be a big thing, like the
Ready Player One type thing.
World.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. It's probably going to go down that path.
I would imagine.
Sooner than later.
Yeah. When you can actually do like cool stuff that takes you outside of the bounds of like human existence, maybe that will be more enticing to people. I do like to always be optimistic in thinking that humans always need another human element within their life in some way, shape, or form. And I'm just not too clear on how they will fabricate that. But with how quickly it is progressing, I'm sure they'll be able to at some point. Yeah.
Yeah,
you'll be listening to AI Amala at some point. You won't even know. You won't even know.
And this, I think, is the last one, which is kind of awkward, but it says...
I saw it.
From Tim.
Want me to read it? You're so pretty, Taylor.
Thanks, Tim. I think that was because he felt bad because the other person said you're pretty, and so he just wanted to balance it out.
Nobody tells Scott that he's pretty in the super chats, and it's because I think everybody's already agreed.
His name's literally Hot Scott.
Yeah. So nobody has to worry about that. Scott won't feel bad. Guys, that is our show for today. We covered so many topics, my goodness. And thank you so much for watching. Let me know how you feel about this story with the city bikes. Drop that in the comments down below. If there's debate surrounding this, always duke it out, but do so respectfully. Plus, let us know how you feel about the Anheuser-Busch story that continues to develop. Do you even care anymore? Are you over the Bud Light thing? Are you over Dylan Mulvaney? Plus, some of the red pill content that we watched today, which I don't even know what type of red pill that was. I feel black pilled after watching it. And a woman who is calling for airline aisles to be larger to accommodate plus size individuals. Let me know how you feel about that in the comments down below. As always, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we post videos for you every single day, so you don't want to miss out. Our next video will be coming out on Monday. And what is it? Are we doing the video game video Monday? What are we doing Monday? I always try to let them know.
Yeah, it's video games.
Yeah. Representation for all you gamers out there, so many of you are constantly asking me to play games. I'm not playing games in the video, but the gamer world is changing as we try to accommodate, you know, inclusivity, diversity, and all that fun stuff. And especially a little sprinkle of equity in there. We'll be touching on that on Monday's video. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Have a great weekend. Have lots of fun. See you later.
And we're off.